Howdy and welcome to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. This is week 10, day 1 of the study of Genesis. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about Genesis chapter 46. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. Would you join me as we pray before we get started? Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us today, God? Speak to us. We want to know you more from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's jump into God's word. I'll be reading today from the NIV. This is Genesis chapter 46, starting in verse 1. So Israel set out with all that was his, and when he reached Beersheba, he offered sacrifices to the God of his father Isaac. And God spoke to Israel in a vision at night and said, "Jacob, Jacob." "Here I am," he replied. "I am God, the God of your father," he said. "Do not be afraid to go down to Egypt, for I will make you into a great nation there. I will go down to Egypt with you, and I will surely bring you back again, and Joseph's own hand will close your eyes." Then Jacob left Beersheba, and Israel's sons took their father Jacob and all their children, their wives, in the carts that Pharaoh had sent to transport him. Okay, I want to pause right there. I mean, this is amazing. I mean, this has happened so many times in the course of Jacob's life, and it can be very easy to kind of gloss over this, but Jacob met with the Lord. I mean, the Lord appeared to Jacob. You know, God appeared to Abraham several times, and Abraham is this, you know, pillar of just righteousness. You know, it's like everything he did, almost everything he did, it just seems to just overflow with righteousness and goodness and all this kind of stuff. And he's like, I mean, he is the patriarch. And Isaac comes along, and interestingly enough, we don't have all that much information about Isaac in the Bible. And very little about the Lord meeting with him and that kind of stuff. But Jacob, again, Jacob's rough around the edges. I mean, when you compare Jacob to Abraham, he's really rough around the edges. But for all of that, it seems like God meets with him, at least the accounts that we have in Scripture, as much or more than Abraham. I mean, you know, Jacob alludes to other times that the Lord has met with him as well. And so you kind of wonder, is this like a biweekly meeting that Jacob has with God? It seems to happen quite a bit. And so, I mean, as he's getting ready to go down, the Lord appears to him and speaks to him. This is powerful. This is amazing. The Lord is reiterating this promise that he's made, that he's going to take them to Egypt for 400 years, and that's where he's going to, you know, give birth to this nation of Israel. All right, verse 6. So Jacob and all of his offspring went to Egypt, taking with them their livestock and their possessions that they had acquired in Canaan. Jacob brought with him to Egypt his sons and grandsons and his daughters and granddaughters, all his offspring. Verse 8. These were the names of the sons of Israel, Jacob and his descendants who went to Egypt. Reuben, the firstborn of Jacob. The sons of Reuben, Hanok, Palu, Hezron, and Carmi. The sons of Simeon, Jemuel, Jamin, Ohad, Jachin, Zohar, and Shaul, the son of a Canaanite woman. The sons of Levi, Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. The sons of Judah, Onan, Shelah, Perez, and Zerah. But and Onan had died in the land of Canaan. The sons of Perez, Hezron, and Hamul. The sons of Issachar, Tola, Pua, Jashub, and Shimron. The sons of Zebulun, Sered, Elon, and Jalil. These were the sons Leah born to Jacob in Padan Aram, besides his daughter Dinah. These sons and daughters of his were 33 in all. I want to pause right here and just remind you, I've said this many times before. If you're new to the podcast, maybe you haven't heard this, but whenever we see things like this, you know, these genealogies that seem very dry and seemingly meaningless. There will be many people that will tell you, gloss right over these. They're not important. You know, you don't need to know any of this kind of stuff. It's a bit of trivia or things like that. I want to caution you against doing that with anything in the Word of God. I mean, think about the God who breathed the infinite universe into being. And yet the words that we have recorded of his fit into this little, tiny book that we call the Bible. Yeah, it's big, it's heavy, it seems long, but when you think about it in its proper context, that the God who created everything has spoken so few words that are recorded, and these are some of those words. He does not waste words. There is gold. There is treasure in here. Now, I've taken a lot of these names. I had a fascination with this for a long time, about 15 years ago, and I'm still fascinated by it, but about 15 years ago, my fascination with all this started, and I actually began to go through the process myself of recording these genealogies and trying to assemble them to kind of make better sense for myself. Because, you know, I think most people know is you can look at a genealogy chart and kind of pick out and reference things that you might want to know about or things like that. But if you actually create something yourself, a genealogy chart, an anything, you're going to know that a whole lot better than if you just look it up. And so I wanted to go through the process of tracking all these people and seeing who was related to who. And I spent months and months, really it was a multi-year project about 15 years ago, just assembling some of these genealogies throughout Genesis and Scripture, even Chronicles. And it gave me such an appreciation for who these people were when they lived, because so many of them were contemporaries because they lived, you know, 300, 400, 500, 900 years. And so seeing kind of inserting myself into their world, it was so very powerful for me. And so I've got a link in the show notes to that spreadsheet that you can look up. And I would encourage you, if you can be fascinated, and that's one of the things I encourage you all the time, is be fascinated by his word. Don't just read it. Don't just study it. Be fascinated by it. And when you do that, when you're fascinated by his word, you will love his word. And when you're fascinated and in love with his word, you'll be fascinated with God, and you will love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Fascination with his word, fascination just in general, is one of the greatest allies of love. And so when you can find ways to be fascinated, to get yourself interested in these things, it can make an amazing difference in your life in God. All right, continuing on, verse 16. The sons of Gad, Zephon, Haggai, Shuni, Esbon, Eri, Erodai, and Ereli. The sons of Asher, Imnah, Ishva, Ishvi, and Beriah. Their sister was Sarah. The sons of Beriah, Heber and Malkiel. These were the children born to Jacob by Zilpah, whom Laban had given to his daughter Leah, 16 in all. And by the way, I apologize to any Jewish people who might be listening. I'm sure I'm butchering every one of these names. As we read through the Bible, you know, I do my best when I know better, but for most of these, I'm sure I completely butcher them because I don't natively speak Hebrew. And so have a little patience with me. And maybe as you're listening, you can shout at me in the car, in the shower, wherever you actually, if you're listening to this in the shower, maybe make sure that you're listening on a waterproof Bluetooth speaker. If you've got it plugged in the wall and it's dangling over your shower, maybe not a good idea. But anyway, wherever you're listening to this, if you want to shout at me the right the right pronunciations, that's awesome. If you want to drop me a line and tell me where I'm wrong, I'd love to hear about it. Verse 19, the sons of Jacob's wife, Rachel, Joseph and Benjamin. In Egypt, Manasseh and Ephraim were born to Joseph by Asenath, daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. The sons of Benjamin, Bela, Becher, Ashbel, Gera, Naaman, Ehi, Rosh, Muppim, Huppim, and Ard. These were the sons of Rachel who were born to Jacob, 14 in all. The son of Dan, Hushim. The sons of Naphtali, Jaziel, Guni, Jezer, and Shillim. These were the sons born to Jacob by Bilhah, whom Laban had given to his daughter Rachel, 7 in all. All those who were in Egypt with Jacob, those were with his direct descendants, not counting his sons' wives, numbered 66 persons. With the two sons who had been born to Joseph in Egypt, the members of Jacob's family, which went to Egypt, were 70 in all. I find that interesting. I find it's interesting that there were 70. Later on, you know, Moses is going to create a council of 70. These numbers, you know, you can pass right over them. But you talk to almost any Jewish scholar, any rabbi, they're going to look at – they look at these numbers with great import. Like it matters to them. And you know, when you look at this, I think it can be a bit callous to say, well, it's just coincidence, and it can be a bit too much to try and read into like every single number with all of these, you know, details. You know, you can make these things kind of be whatever you want them to be. But whenever you see numbers like this that seem to be often repeated throughout Scripture, 70, 66, things like that, it's interesting to take note because, you know, these things do have meaning. The meaning is not always clear, but they do have meaning, and they can be like these fascination points that get you to delve deeper into these things. Now, again, like I say, you can go on the internet and you can find any number of sources who are going to say what these numbers you know mean, and they can you know basically go off the deep end, and it becomes whatever you want it to be. I'm not encouraging you to do that, but I am encouraging you to look up into some of these if you're interested and find out some of the meanings of these numbers because they can be important again. But that's just one another access point into fascination is finding these things that really get you into these kind of things. It's really important. Whatever you can find will keep you going. They will fuel your fascination and passion with God's word. And I encourage that. Verse 28. Now Jacob sent Judah ahead of him to Joseph to get directions to Goshen. When they arrived in the region of Goshen, Joseph had his chariot made ready and went to Goshen to meet his father Israel. As soon as Joseph appeared before him, he threw his arms around his father and wept for a long time. Israel said to Joseph, "Now I am ready to die, since I have seen for myself that you are still alive." Imagine that moment. Imagine. I mean, how many of you are fathers or mothers? Oh, imagine thinking that your son was dead and getting him back from the dead. Imagine that moment when that son who is lost for over two decades is in your arms again. Oh, how amazing this must have been. For Jacob and Joseph. What a beautiful reunion. Verse 30. Israel said to Joseph, "Now I am ready to die, since I have seen for myself that you are still alive." Then Joseph said to his brothers and his father's household, "I will go up and speak to Pharaoh, and I will say to him, 'My brothers and my father's household, who are living in the land of Canaan, have come to me. The men are shepherds, they tend livestock, and they have brought along their flocks and herds and everything they own.' When Pharaoh calls you in and asks, 'What is your occupation?' you should answer, 'Your servants have tended livestock from our boyhood on, just as our fathers did.' Then you will be allowed to settle in the region of Goshen, for all the shepherds are detestable to the Egyptians." That's such a strange way for this chapter to end, and such a strange thing for Joseph to say, but do you see what Joseph is doing there? He wants to put some separation between the Egyptians and his people, and he's going to use this distinction. So we're going to find out later in the book of Exodus that the Egyptians, they love cattle. They don't do sheep. They eat beef. They are good. They were the red-blooded Americans of the ancient world. They were the beef and potato type people. They didn't go after this whole sheep thing. They didn't want that, and so they find you know lamb's meat and all that kind of stuff detestable. And so they raise them for their wool, but that's probably it. And so they kind of like keep them away. And Joseph wants them separate. Joseph understands the promises that God has made about their time in Egypt. He understands what's coming. He understands they're going to be there for a long time and that there's going to be actual oppression that's going to come about. And he doesn't want them intermarrying with the Egyptians, basically like he did. He doesn't want them intermingling with them. He wants them separate so that they can grow separately as their own nation, as their own people. And from the get-go, This is not an act of, you know, Goshen is the best of the land. It was. They're going to talk about how Goshen was the best of the land. But it's really they wanted separation. That's what this was about. Joseph has got his eye on God's promises. And I love that. I love that. He's going to use this as an excuse because, ugh, we find shepherds detestable. Yes, fine. We have no problem giving this group of people, since they belong to Joseph, the best of the land, just so we don't have to be around them. And what an amazingly brilliant move on Joseph's part to give them the best of the land and create this wall of separation so that they can grow over the next 400 years as God's holy, chosen, and set apart people. Well, that's it for today. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. I really am glad you joined me. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I'll be back tomorrow with another day of the 10-Week Bible Podcast.